Cape Talk. Car Talk.
The revving of the engine means that our motoring correspondent, Chirida Siena of cars.co.za, is standing by to tackle your motoring questions. A couple of them have already come through on the email. Just a reminder that, of course, you're welcome to phone in on 021-446-0567 or to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Always great to have you with us, Chira. Welcome back.
Hi, Pepper. Thanks for having me back.
Right. Let's start with a car review because you've taken a look at the brand new Range Rover Evoque. How's the 2019 model?
Very nice. I really, really like the way it looks. Essentially, the design has been moved in line with the rest of the Range Rover fleet. So it now looks like a baby Range Rover Sport, I suppose. And I always like the look of that car. But I almost feel like the design of the Evoque is actually even a bit more successful in that the Sport's quite a large car. So it's difficult to make a large SUV, you know, look sporty, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's a lot smaller, not more compact, then you can sort of get that purposeful stance to it. And you know, in this segment, looks are really, really important. People are looking for something appealing, attractive, and I think it really does tick those boxes.
Okay, what sort of price tag box do you have to tick, Chira?
Oof, I was hoping you wouldn't ask. no, you're looking at a fair whack of money for a car like this. It's the prices start at $740 for a very base model, but to be honest, I don't see anyone spending that list price. You're going to have to spend a fair bit more because the reality is the dealers will order these cars with quite a few options. I think that's what the market's looking for. So you probably, I would say, looking at about $850 for a decent one with a decent interior spec, and then if you want, you can go all the way up to the very special first edition, which has a couple of nice little bells and whistles and some exterior upgrades, and that is 6,000 rand shy of a million for one of those.
Sure. Okay. I'm sighing deeply because this is one car where I can say, Chiro, I didn't get to drive the 2019 model, but a couple of years ago, I had the experience of driving a Range Rover Evoque for the weekend, and it was, shall we say, a substantial improvement in the quality of my ride to what I'm used to. And I do think fondly of that weekend, I will have to say, although the difficulty of parking such a large vehicle for me was a negative, but it really was a great ride. So overall ride quality, if you're in the market in this segment, is it worth it?
You know, if you look at the rest of the segment, it's difficult to compare this car because, you know, for instance, you could go and buy a, I don't know, and I don't mean to be derogatory to say the brand Kia, for instance, or Hyundai, but you could buy a similarly sized car, which will have a lovely interior and all the rest of it, and you could save yourself something in the region of 400,000 rand.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought a Hyundai Tucson or a Kia Sportage, for instance, and those are just off the top of my head, or a Mazda CX-5. But so it's that sort of size. However, I think you're paying for the badge on the nose. Yeah. I think there's a bit of that going on here. And the interior really is quite special. It's very advanced. It's got a dual screen layout in the center of the fascia, which looks very, very modern. It's just a cool thing to play with, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's where cars are going, I suppose. So it's quite sort of future forward thinking and like I say, very, very luxurious and comes with that badge on the nose. So tough one. It's not the sort of car I would spend money on personally, but I do understand, I think, why people, you know, motorists would spring for this kind of car. Yeah.
I'll just hold on to the memories for now. Okay. Thanks. thanks, Chiro. So that's the 2019 Range Rover Evoque. Now, big motoring news breaking in the last couple of days, which I'm sure will have piqued the interest of some of our listeners. Volvo announcing a recall of more than 500,000 vehicles worldwide because of a faulty engine component that could, in extreme cases, lead to a fire. What do you know about what's the fault and the extent of the recall, Chiro?
It will affect SA customers. That much we know. Okay. However, Volvo South Africa are saying that if you don't receive a communication, everything's okay. So they've checked your vehicle and you're fine. But basically, if you have a four-cylinder diesel motor and you own a V40, V60, V70, S80, XC60, or XC90, and it was made after 2014 to date, then you potentially have a fire risk. However, no, there isn't anywhere in the world where someone's been hurt by one of these cars. That doesn't mean that a fire hasn't happened. It just means no one's been hurt.
Okay.
So it's mostly a preventative recall. I suspect that it's not you know, you don't want to say these things are serious and then something happens and someone gets, or not serious and then someone gets hurt, you know, so let me not say that. But as with all recalls, you are well within your rights to be a little bit paranoid and give your dealer a call and say, am I affected? You know, and if you've bought a Volvo secondhand, the chances are that Volvo South Africa does not know about that purchase, especially if you bought it privately. So you will not be on their database and you will not receive a communication. So you also need to be a bit proactive about that. And that is one of the pitfalls of recalls, is that manufacturers can't trace private transactions of their vehicles. So they can't communicate with you. So that's very important.
Okay, so just to recap, it's the four-cylinder diesel motors post 2014, and the affected models are the S90, the XC60, the C90, the V40, and the V40 Cross Country. If you're driving one of those and you're not sure, rather make the phone call and check with the dealership. It's going to take a few minutes of your time and put your mind at rest, and rather than running the risk of something going wrong.
And funnily enough, it's actually not an engine fault. They are worried that some of the plastic elements in the engine bay could melt and cause issues.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily a mechanical fault. And you know, when this issue came up, I tried to do a bit of research on, you know, I just went onto Google and I said, is there a website that counts manufacturer recalls around the world? And there is.
Okay.
So it's unfortunately only American data, but it is super, super interesting. So funnily enough, Volvo, since 1985, have the lowest rates of recall in America. And so does Porsche, funnily enough. They're also sort of just about the same as Volvo. So you're looking at a brand which really does, you know, recalls for them are not sort of, you know, the average Tuesday afternoon in the office. They do have a good reputation for a reason. And I think that, you know, quite interestingly, I mean, I can take you through a little bit of the data quickly, but the manufacturers which have the most recalls, sorry, let me just quickly pull this up for you. Of 18 manufacturers surveyed, the worst five are BMW, Mercedes, Hyundai, Honda, and Volkswagen. So, and this is in America at least. So, you know, the most recalled car in America is the Mercedes C-Class. So it's something that happens very, very often. And the fact that people are surprised by the Volvo recall, I think shows that the manufacturer does have that reputation.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for giving us the detail there on which models are affected and flagging that. Again, if you're driving a vehicle that ticks those boxes of the particular motor and model we've just mentioned, rather be safe than sorry. If you haven't received any communication from the dealership, just give them a call and check whether your car might be affected. Okay, let's move on to some listener questions, and a reminder that you can phone in right now on 021-446-0567. You can do what Carol has done, send an SMS to 31567, do what Ian has done and send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. But I'm going to start with Leslie, who sent an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. And Leslie wants to know about a 2017 Fiat 500 POP 1200 engine, brought brand new. It has a dual automatic manual gearbox and is only 2 years old with very little mileage, but it needs a new gearbox. Lots of tiny iron filings around the gearbox, according to the mechanic, and also now needs a new starter motor. It's not covered by Fiat because it's just out of warranty. Leslie's question is, as far as you know, is this abnormal for this type of car to have both of these problems in such a short space of time? A very careful driver who handles it gently, and it still looks brand new.
Did Leslie say the model year of the car for 2017?
2017, yeah.
I can't imagine why that car's out of warranty. I mean, surely, let me see if I can quickly pull up the details on a Fiat 500. So while I'm doing that, that automated manual in that car is one of the worst gearboxes I've ever driven in my entire life. It feels like it takes about 3 hours to change gear. But the thing is, there's no clutch pedal, so it decides when it should clutch in for you. It clutches in for you, which feels like you've sort of driven through a shed, but not a shed big enough to stop the car, you know, just to slow it down. Mm. And then there's a gear change which happens sort of all on its own, and then the clutch comes back out and then you carry on going. It's one of the weirdest driving experiences I've ever had. And to me, that gearbox just, it, first of all, I don't know why it exists, because there's just so many better options. And it must be cheaper, perhaps, to manufacture or to install or whatever it is. And secondly, it just didn't feel, it felt too complicated, you know, for what it does. The Cabriolet LE, we do have a listen on the site. Let me see if I get the warranty up. Service plan, 3 years, warranty distance 100,000, warranty years three. So it's a 3 year or 100,000, whatever comes sooner. So it doesn't, if it was early 2017, then I don't see this car having run out of warranty, unless what happened was one of these really unfortunate situations where the warranty was registered a significant amount of time before the car was actually sold. And this happens quite often. When the dealer registers a warranty, it counts as a sale, from what I understand. But that doesn't mean that they've sold it onto a customer. So it's potential that this warranty was registered in 2016. The car was only sold in 2017. And that's why there's no warranty on it. And yes, I would say it is abnormal. Gearboxes should not last 3 years. They should last pretty much the lifetime of the vehicle. So this is a really difficult one. And to be honest, I would get in touch with Fiat South Africa and make a big noise about it. You know, it's just not right that a three-year-old car needs a new gearbox.
Okay, thanks for that. I think Stephen Pardon-Aland is also wanting to chip in on this one. Steve, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, guys. I think maybe when you mentioned that there's filings there and it needs a starter motor to be repaired, that maybe the starter and the ring gear missing is, obviously the starter's damaged itself from the ring gear, causing filings there. I can't see a starter and a gearbox going at the same time, whereas maybe the gearbox has to come out to put a ring gear on it and then a new starter on it. But I don't think that the gearbox would need to be, unless the filing in the gearbox, but then again, it wouldn't affect the starter.
Okay, Steve, thanks for sharing that perspective on it. Thanks. And Shiro, thanks. I think you're right in saying, Leslie, at the very least, you need to be approaching Fiat and demanding some answers as to how a car that young can have those substantial problems so early on in its lifetime. And let us know what they tell you and whether you get any feedback from them, Leslie, please. I'd love a follow-up email on that one. All right, let's go to the SMS line. And Carol asking about a Mazda CX-5. Now, she says it's a 2016 model. It's just about to hit 50,000 kilometers on the clock. She's wondering if she should change it now while she'll still get a good price for it, or keep it. She says, I paid cash for it and would do the same for the next one if that makes any difference. So 50,000 Ks on the clock, a 2016 model Mazda CX-5. What do you think?
Mazda is one of those manufacturers with quite a short warranty, 3 year unlimited kilometers from what I understand. So that is potentially, or that is why this, listener's probably contacting us, is a 2016 car and now it's, you know, out of warranty. Being out of warranty with a modern car is pretty scary. You know, you could be in for some big bills as Leslie has now found out, unfortunately. So tricky one, you know, if you're the sort of person who wants to be involved and can be involved and is interested in being involved in the car's maintenance and finding, you know, the right mechanic to look after it and that sort of thing, then I would say 50,000 Ks on is quite low. And it's probably worth running the car for, say, another 30,000 and then getting rid of it. That's probably how you'd squeeze the most value out of the car potentially. I think if you sold now, you would take the same sort of hit on the depreciation and you'd then have to try, you know, finance the next car or pay cash for the next car and essentially transfer that depreciation hit. So I would say squeeze a little bit more time out of the car. You'll probably be safe with reliability issues, you know, till say the 100,000 kilometer mark at least. And then potentially get out the car at that point. The new Mazda CX-5 is also a great car. It might be worth just going to a Mazda dealership and saying, look, here's the one I've got. I'd quite like a new one. And, you know, they'll cut you a deal sort of based on the trade-in and based on the new model. So I think, you know, also a bit of a buyer's market at the moment. The market is quite down from what I understand. So, you know, to sort of squeeze for a good deal, I think is probably a good way to go. And, you know, maybe you love the CX-5, but perhaps there's something else out there which might appeal to you. You know, a brand like Nissan gives you a 6 year warranty and then you potentially won't have this issue, going forward. So, you know, maybe it's worth also just, you know, seeing what's out there, and going to test drive a few other cars.
Okay, thanks for the advice and good luck, Carol, with the decision. Okay, let's go to the lines. Hayley in Constantia wanting to ask about the lifespan of an alternator. Good afternoon, Hayley.
Hi there. I'm just trying to find out generally, how long should an alternator last? And, yeah, I mean, should they be lasting the lifetime? Should it kind of 5 years, 10 years? Any insights you can give?
Sure. I'd love to call that gentleman who just phoned in because he really sounded like he knew what he was talking about. It's a bit difficult for me in that we get given cars for a week or two. They're brand new and they leave us and that's that. We know we don't do long-term testing, that sort of thing. And obviously each manufacturer will have potentially a different alternator, which they're sourcing from different suppliers. So there's a lot of variables in it. I would say that it should at very least last the warranty period of the car if it's a modern car. Older cars, perhaps you're looking at somewhere between 5 and 10 years for a replacement. What's becoming a little bit trickier these days is that you've got decoupling systems on the alternator. So for instance, with BMWs, the car actually sort of delinks, I suppose is the word, but decouples the alternator from the belt driving the auxiliaries of the engine, and that saves fuel. And those mechanisms can sometimes be a little bit tricky. So your alternator could be fine, but that mechanism could have gone. And like I say, you know, this should last the warranty period of the vehicle at the very, very least, and hopefully a bit longer after that. But if it's outside of warranty, then a good auto electrician, I suppose, should be able to diagnose the issue and help replace the motor.
Okay.
Or the alternator, sorry. Yeah.
All right. Hayley, hope that's helpful to you. Thanks so much for your call. I promised Ian I'd read his WhatsApp, which he sent in quite some time ago. So let's squeeze that in as our last question, Chirik. Ian's got an Opel Bucky at the moment, but he says, I'm looking at getting a Toyota Extra Cab because I'm starting to need to go off-road more and more. Please ask Chirik his thoughts on the Toyota Extra Cab.
Okay. I suppose while I'm getting the pricing up, there's a few options in the market. You know, and there's the Ford Ranger as well, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the last time I checked, the only automatic extra cab you can get, or the only auto. Yes, I think it's the only auto in that segment. So for a Toyota extra cab, the base spec model, you are looking at 396,000 rand, which, you know, is probably. I would say probably in line off the top of my head with the Ford. I can give that a quick look now as well. The thing about buying into the Toyota brand is, you know, you don't get the best warranty. You know, the Ford's warranty is longer, for instance. But where I think you do make back quite a bit of your money is when you come to sell it. It's just as simple as that. You know, the average Toyota just depreciates less than the average Ford. So while, you know, you may have that extra cover on the Ford, and while I think, to be honest, if I had to live with a car, I'd rather live with the Ford. I think it's a better car to drive, or a better Bucky to drive. The sheer sort of financial aspect of it is that the Toyota, like I say, when you come to sell it, you know, you'll hurt less on the depreciation. So I would say go test drive both, make sure you're happy to live with either one of them, and then make the call sort of based on resale value, I would say.
Chira, thanks as always for being with us at Chira de Siena of cars.co.za, and for more motoring news and to check out the latest models they've been test driving, you can visit the site cars.co.za and also look out for their YouTube channel and all the great content they're producing, particularly putting cars nose to nose, as it were. Simon, we'll keep your question on Twitter for the start of next week's motoring segment, and remember, you can send a question to me anytime on pippah@capetalk.co.za.